Welcome back, everybody, to We Are TPM with myself, Kyle Teixeira, sitting next to, once again, John Teixeira. We are back this week to talk about property tax changes in Texas. Now, if you want to talk about anything we like to talk about or hear anything we like to hear, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at showmethemoney@wertpm.com. John, let's get into it. This is a topic that a lot of people have been asking about lately, but there are different things to it, I guess, different pieces to this property tax relief bill. And why did this get addressed? We can start there, because, like, over the last 4 years, you know, on average, I think I saw the average increase in appraised values was in, like, the high 50s, low 60s, with some being over 100%. I can attest that I've seen some of our values go up over 100% in the last 4 years, appraisal-wise. Is that normal?
Is that normal? No, it's not normal to go up at the rate it's gone up. But to answer your question, is what has happened? So we've had a ton of homeowners come to us complaining about their cash flow, right? Because their taxes are going up, because the assessed value is going up. But you asked the question, why? Why did this happen? I can tell you exactly why it's happened. I spoke to two different Texas representatives that were involved with putting this bill together. And basically what happened was Texas ended up with a surplus of money. I think it was in the neighborhood of $8 billion, something like that.
What's a government surplus? I haven't heard about that in like a long time.
Well, they collected more tax money than they budgeted for. And so instead of increasing their budget, which I'm sure they did, I'm sure they increased their budget also, but they were looking for ways to give the money back. And this was the main way they landed on and agreed on.
Not continuing to collect the surplus too, right? I mean, you don't need a surplus. Our government doesn't need more money than it spends, you would think, right?
I don't know. Apparently we have to build a wall.
We are talking about Texas, right? You know, a state that has no state income tax?
No state income tax.
That's insane, whatsoever. Right?
But to the point of this topic, our property taxes are a little higher than probably the average state in the United States, and that's partly because we don't have other taxes. We choose not to tax in your income and in other ways, like your registration. You know, when we go and we pay our registration, it's $85. It's not $400 like it is in some other states. So there's ways they get you. They get you one way or another. It's just they decide how they're going to get you. And Texas gets you in property taxes.
Well, yeah. So what are the changes? The changes are the one that everyone's been talking about that has affected pocketbooks is the homestead exemption. And a homestead exemption is a property tax exemption that you get on your primary residence. And what that exemption does in previous years, it would take $40,000 off your assessed value. So, you know, your property tax, depending on what county, what school districts you were in, you have an effective tax rate. Call it like I think it's somewhere around 2.8 here in Arlington. If you're in Arlington ISD, a little bit higher.
It's usually between 2.5 and 2.8, I think, is where most people land.
So the percent of that isn't what gets changed. It's the exemption off the home's value. So when it was at 40,000, if you had a $100,000 home, they're taking $40,000 off of that.
Are you sure it was at 40,000?
I think
it was at 25.
No, it got increased a couple years ago to 40. So this has already happened once, but not
to
this extent.
I know, but it got increased from 15 to 25.
It was 40. It was definitely at 40. So.
All right. Okay.
Don't admit that you didn't know that.
I keep sort of tabs on this stuff. I remember when it went from 15 to 25, I missed the 40.
So, yeah, $100,000 house, it was a $40,000 homestead exemption, and now they're only taxing you that percentage on the remaining 60. Well, that homestead exemption just went up to $100,000. So, for lower income houses, it's made a significant difference. Like, I know people who have condos as their homestead that are barely worth over $100,000, and the tax bill literally got more than slashed in half. It cut about 70% off of it. So, you know, on $1 million homes, this is a smaller drop in the bucket, but still, it's a higher exemption. Because it went from 40 to 100,000. So.
Well, it essentially drops your tax bill
proportionally
by $2,900, whatever your tax rate is, you know, and then the difference between 60% of that is the difference between last year and this year. So, yeah.
Well, so your assessed value hasn't gone up. Yeah. Right. So, but the common question around this, like I've seen a ton of renters see this bill get passed and say, oh, is this going to get passed on to the renters? Is, you know, our rents going to go down because they passed this homestead exemption? No, because it does not help investment properties whatsoever. Why is that?
Well, okay. So you're exactly right, Kyle.
The homestead exemption piece of this.
This homestead exemption, this tax thing doesn't affect rental properties. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're right. And even if it did, you know, does it have an impact on the market rate of the rentals? I don't know if it would or not, to be honest. I don't really know. It usually doesn't have much of an impact. However, owners, 9 out of 10 homes are owned by or are managed by the homeowner. And homeowners make emotional decisions and they may go, hey, you know, I don't know. I'm not gonna raise your rate this year because I got $100 discount on my taxes. You know what I mean?
Well, they wouldn't have though.
But they wouldn't because it's kind of a moot point because they're not getting that.
They're not getting the homestead exemption on rental properties. But another thing this bill did do that can help rental properties was cap the 3-year increase. So it capped 3-year increase at 20%. So over a 3-year period, your appraised value cannot go up more than 20%. Now, what we just said, since 2020, a lot of them have gone up 60 to 100%.
That would have helped before.
It would have helped, yeah. Do we think it's likely that it's going to happen over the next 3 years? No.
I don't.
Is there another period in time when something happens 10 years from now that this could be extremely helpful? Maybe, you know, we never know. But it'd be nice to never see that again because, yeah, people bought houses, especially rental properties, and then these appraised values going up just demolished their cash flow. But that brings us back to something we've said before. Appreciate your appreciation, right? You're paying a tax, an increased tax based on an increased appraised value, aka an increased market value. You know, the value of your asset has gone up. That's why you're paying a higher tax.
And you know what? It's still good for the future. Look, in the past, between 2000 and 2006, we had an enormous boom of property values. Between 2018 and 2022, we had an enormous boom in property values. It's about 20 years apart, right? Some, you know, a little less. So everything goes in cycles. This is going to come back around. This is going to be an issue. And while the next 3 years, it may not be an issue, they may not be going up 20%. That's kind of everyone's prediction. That's my prediction, that it'll go up in a more steady, healthy way, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't know when that next boom is going to hit and how – then this will still be in place hopefully and it'll impact that boom.
Well, and it can plan. It help investors plan. You know, mm-hmm. 3-year time horizon, you're not going to get more than a 20% increase on the appraised value. You know, not necessarily the taxes but the appraised value. So this is all – for both homeowners living in their homestead exempt properties and rental properties investors you know, it's another testament to a piece of yearly maintenance. Another yearly maintenance piece you should be doing every year is protesting your property taxes.
Question: does the 20% does that apply to rentals?
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, that's to just everybody. That's just anything. Yeah, that applies to across the board. The appraised values across the board can't go up more than 20% over 3 years. So, and I know they previously tried to put a cap in, but that's what they landed at.
Mm-hmm.
So.
This was definitely a compromise. I spoke to a gentleman who's one of our representatives that he was pushing for a lot more than this. Like he was really happy about this, but upset about it at the same time because he felt like that the taxpayers should have gotten way more back than just doing this. They did some other things too, things that affect some people, not everyone, But regarding property owners,
I know they were trying to pass $250 is what they were really pushing for a while, which that would have been an insane exemption.
Well, I'd rather them do, you know.
Now they're talking about getting rid of it.
I hate to say this, but I kind of think in this regard, California has it right. They have it. They have the best system that, I mean, they've got Prop 13. And that just allows people to settle into their home and create a budget and not have to worry about, you know, how much is my mortgage going to be next year, right? Do I have to go get another job when my mortgage goes up? For, you know what I mean? Like, we really, some people really have to worry about that here in California. It's set, it's frozen until you sell your home or until you refinance it. But no, not even when you refinance, it's just until when it changes hands.
So it's like the 65 exemption here.
No, it's, well, kind of, except it just freezes it wherever you're at. So whatever your, pretend this went into place today, whatever your tax rate is today is what you would have for the rest of the time that you own that home.
Not tax rate, tax bill, right? The bill the stays tax the bill. Same. Okay.
The tax bill stays the same.
Even I wanted a little clarity there because, you know, this may be the only time I've ever heard you say California got it right.
It may be the only time I say it too because I'm not a big fan of how they do things, but I am a fan of that particular thing because, you know, it's hard on families, especially in markets like that one where people are struggling just to own a home, just to survive and stay in their home. And, you know, economies change constantly, and you don't know how they're going to change in the future. And
well, it makes a lot of sense because, like, you're taxing unrealized gains. You know, we talked about this in previous years about how they put up – Congress put up a bill about taxing unrealized gains and how insane that sounds. Well, that's essentially what the property taxes are doing. They are taxing your unrealized gains every year.
That's right.
So
that's right.
And they're not just doing it once. Yeah. They're doing it every year. Yeah. So.
Let's start a campaign to push for a Prop 13 type tax bill, Kyle. Let's do it.
I saw that they're trying to.
Let's just keep California out of it. Let's just not tell everyone that we.
They may be doing that because they're already putting it up at least for a party vote on if you should just remove property taxes. In my mind, it's like, all right, well, that's just them trying to start the compromise at one really strong end of the spectrum, and maybe they'll meet in the middle with something like that because that would be awesome for investors and. You know, that would actually help renters, you know, if you think at it from that perspective, is a change they could make that would help renters. I mean, you know, everybody loves to blame landlords for, the rent increases over the last couple of years. Well, these tax bills do, you know, we've talked a lot how they don't have a direct correlation, but they do over time correlate, you know, they do as the market starts pricing in these big tax bills because investors can't buy the new properties without considering these tax bills.
It affects it. Whether it's directly or indirectly, it ends up affecting it.
Yeah.
Can you, you know, it's not like somebody sent you a notice that said, hey, because my tax bill went up, your rent's going up. That's a direct impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the affecting the market as a whole, it's going to be an indirect and gradual thing.
Which is exactly why this wasn't exactly what everyone was looking for. You know, you helped property owners. You helped property owners that own the home they live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't even indirectly help rent rates or the renters, which is what a lot of people were hoping to see out of this bill. But again, I think that this just reiterates why you need to protest your property taxes because appraisal districts don't always get it right. They generally get it wrong or they generalize an area. So if you're in an area with a bunch of luxury homes that have gone up, your submarket may not have gone up and you have to go tell the appraisal district that. And protesting isn't hard. It's, you know, there's companies that do it for you, but I see a lot of homeowners do it themselves and succeed just by saying, here's three sold comps in my neighborhood that are 20% less than your appraised value. So my appraised value should be 20% and mine's not even as nice. So lower my bill by 30%, you know.
It's a good time of year. We ought to get the company that we use on our podcast here and talk about appealing
property protest, property taxes, that'd be a good one because it's something
it's something else that you can do yourself or you can pay somebody to do, right? It's just like anything else in life. You can go do it yourself. I've actually seen some pretty successful cases of people doing it themselves.
Last year was the biggest protest success I've ever seen I think we successfully protest and reduce the value of about 90% of the rentals that were protested. I mean, you know, through this company. But, you know, also seeing the amount, like, for example, they charge a percentage of what they save you. So they save you nothing. It's zero. They save you a certain amount. A percentage of that is their fee.
They're going to charge you $20 to $30, yeah.
Yeah, so let me tell you, we paid them a lot of money on behalf of our clients last year because they saved them a lot on tax bills. So just because the appraisal districts, at least here in Tarrant County, let's just say did not get it right.
Well, that brings up a good point. And don't forget that when they appraise your – when they come up with your appraised value, they do mass appraisals. Mm-hmm. If you think somebody's coming out and looking at your 3,800-square-foot house in John Teixeira's subdivision, right, it's not happening, right? That's not what somebody's doing. In some cases, they take entire subdivisions, but usually they have their own little areas, right? So they may take it by zip code. They may take it by area 51 or whatever. You know what I mean? That's funny. I did area 51. But, you know, they mass appraisal a large area and say, okay, in this area, homes have gone up on average 16%. So they just mass appraise. They raise everybody in that area 16%, right? Well, that's not fair to all the houses there. Some are actually probably more and some are less.
And that's not the exact way. I mean, you're generalizing this because it's what you have to do. But like they all do it differently too. I mean, there's an appraisal district in every county.
That's true.
Some of these less populated counties might come look at your house. I mean, I don't know. There's counties in Texas that are pretty small. I want to make sure they get it right. But, you know, you can't really –
Everything's bigger in Texas, I thought.
Yeah. Well, the amount of vacant land is definitely bigger in Texas. The amount of areas you can drive through without gas stations. You know?
So they probably can just go like whatever county the 4-6 is in, that county appraiser could probably just go to that ranch and just appraise it and be done for the year. Like, we're done. That's it. Right?
Yeah.
They probably take up the whole county.
Yeah. You can.
You could probably call it the 4-6's county.
They do, or they just make up their value and tell the county, right? But you got to watch out doing that these days. So.
All right, I see the comedy routine has kicked in. I love it.
Well, property.
I guess we've run out of content.
No, I mean, people. I want to also tell people how easy this is because people think protesting is very difficult, right? Like you're going to go out in a fight with the county. No, they set a hearing date. You walk into an office with some guy that, you know, represents the county. And if you give any, like, just any kind of justifiable reason, that's like, look, here's three listings. Here's my property. Boom. He's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It's actually a board. It's actually a board of people that are, that's why they call it a board.
Yeah.
It's a board of people that are appointed. And there's rules on, like, how many of them. So one of them has to be an attorney or a judge and
like realtor.
Two of them have to be in the real estate space, and I believe that any Joe, you know, can be also be on that board, but a certain percentage of people have to be have to fall into some category like that. I know real estate is one of them. I think you have to have two real estate people on there.
Yeah, but if you walk in there with good justification, it's going to be harder for them to fight you when, you know, they're looking at. They're dealing with all these protests all at once. You're only dealing with your property, right? So you bring them enough justification that they can back, then they're probably going to take it.
Yep.
That's really why, you know, in some cases, single homeowners have the best results in protesting their property because they're not protesting like 100 of them. They're protesting one.
Well, and because they know more about, you know, hey, this is disintegrating and this is in disrepair and you know, the guy that we're hiring, he doesn't know that you need a new roof and your exterior paint is bad, and you know what I mean. And so if a homeowner can go make a case for those things, and that a bigger company cannot, unless you give them that information.
Yeah, and most of the time people have additions, but I've seen cases where there was like, you know, the property, the information on the tax doesn't match what your actual property is. Mm-hmm. Like, say it says they think it's 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,200 square feet, and it's really 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 800 square feet. Well, that makes a difference. It makes a significant difference on how they're calculating what they're calculating. So, I mean, some people can get in trouble by telling them that it's, you know, there's the other side of that too. So maybe watch what you do when yep. you're getting taxed on a two bedroom and it's really a four bedroom mm. or something. So, but yeah, you guys, you know, I think we're good on this topic.
Yep, I think we killed it.
It was nice to see some changes. This was retroactive, even though it passed in January. It does apply to 2023's tax bill. So
I recently got a reduction in my mortgage for the first time ever.
I did too in my personal property because they're as these analysis. So most of the mortgage companies once a year do an analysis on your escrow account if you're escrowed. Once they consider this decrease. You know, it could go down. They could also be increased, considering a massive insurance increase. So it might stay the same. That's kind of how mine looked. I was like, that didn't go down too much. I'm like, oh, my insurance went up 80%. So thank you for, you know, because it's not just taxes and appraised values going up. It's, what is it, everything?
Well, thanks to my son serving in the Marines, we've been able to push everything to USAA, and it's kind of offset that a little bit. So yeah. a little shout out to USAA.
The insurance bill I'm talking about may be with USAA as well. So thank you, brother. Thank you for your service. well, if you guys have any questions about this tax bill, how it won't help your rental without protesting it, but it will help it over a three-year period into the future, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at showmethemoney@wertpm.com. John and Kyle are out.
We gone.